Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
This is a public service announcement. This is only a test.
You know, we should have.
They like me.
See, well, you look great, by the way.
Thank you.
And your special is very, very funny. I enjoyed watching it this weekend.
Thank you so much.
And I'm sure people are talking about your appearance all the time, everywhere you go.
Yeah, it's. I have lost some weight, and I've done it the old-fashioned way, which is sticking a shot in my stomach.
So if you haven't seen Jim Gaffigan lately, he's a shadow of his former self. I mean, he's down a lot. He's on the shot, right? And I assume it's Ozempic. It could be. There's a couple different ones, right? There are more than one, right? There's a couple different of these ones. Anyway, so he was on Jimmy Kimmel the other day, and I thought this was actually kind of entertaining and a good question that we could discuss, especially on Thanksgiving. It seemed very appropriate to have this conversation on Thanksgiving. I'll give him his comments, and then I'll ask you the question.
There has been no effort, no self-control, no sweating. It's the most American thing you could do. Stick some of that big pharma right in and look better in the morning.
It is funny how reluctant everyone was to take the COVID shot, and yet this, boy, they should have just...
Yeah, just line it up, man.
Well, I love how people are like all secretive about it. Like they don't. It's like, what's the big deal? It's like, I'm embarrassed to admit I'm taking something that's going to allow me to live longer. What's the big deal? It's my knees don't hurt, and I don't have diabetes. What's the negative?
That is good.
And then last one, just because it's Jim Gaffigan.
And your old clothes. I know you talk about your clothing a little bit in the special, but did you find a chubby friend to gift them to?
I have no expectation of keeping this weight off. Not only because I'm American, I assume that this appetite suppressant thing will stop working or I'll grow a tail. So, I'm holding on to those clothes. I have a feeling I'll be fat again. Maybe.
All right, so here's my question. If people lose weight on the shot, is that like a moral failure? Is it something they should be embarrassed about? Do people who lose weight on the shot feel embarrassed about it? Or do they feel like Jim Gaffigan about it, which is, dude, take the shot? Because I'll tell you, I've been sort of losing weight, not super aggressively, but, down a fair amount. And I would never take this shot. I would never take, and I'll tell you why. I'm not the early adopter on medical technology. Getting the COVID vaccine was a rare exception for me to take anything when it's in its early phases. But that's a whole other conversation. But typically never, okay? And in case you're wondering, I'm glad I did, okay? I actually think I had COVID very early. Like, I think I had COVID in January of 20. I'm almost certain that I did, long before anybody even knew about it. But that's, a whole other conversation. But on the shot, I just never early adopt. I don't buy car models the year they come out. The first year of the car model is when they're working the bugs out. I don't get the phone when it's brand new. Early technology, early medical stuff, hey, here's a brand new thing. Sure, tell me how that's working for you in 5 years. That's okay. Because I'm actually with him. I don't know what the long-term consequences will be. It seems impossible that there can be no significant adverse effect to the miracle drug that makes you not even want to eat and lose weight and feel better and feel healthier, and here you go. That just, to me. But the question I'm really getting at, though, 437-1620 is there's also kind of like this moral dimension of weight loss where you lose weight because you work hard, discipline yourself, eat less, right? Whatever the combination of things, those are the combination of things. And there's a kind of ethic to it, right? Somebody who loses weight had to work at it, and somebody—it's almost like why the stomach stitching, like any of the surgical interventions, always feel a little bit like cheating, You know? It just feels that way. You know, oh, they took the shortcut. They took the shortcut to be healthier and be in better shape and not ruin their bodies. Okay, yeah, but they should have earned it. You know, like, there's kind of that weird sense to it. So I'm just curious, do people feel that the shot is somehow a, you know, dirty secret that you shouldn't, because it's obvious. If you know somebody that lost 50 pounds in 3 months, they didn't do it by working out. Right? 437-1620. John, any thought on this? Is it, because we know people.
I know people, and they're very proud of it.
I think so, too. I think it is such a life-changing thing.
For them, yes.
Yeah. And people, that it's hard to recognize after they've lost the weight.
Right.
But, you know, dramatic weight loss. I mean, it clearly works. Now, we just don't know long-term, you know, what that's going to mean. You know, do you have to stay on it? Will it come back if you get off? You know, there's a lot of questions, I think. But, you know, hey, if you can. What I'm trying to say is, I'm reluctant for all the reasons I explained, but I'm in total awe of the effect of this drug. I mean, it's really kind of amazing, right? 437-1620, 437-1620. Does it seem like cheating? Does it seem weird to you? Or do you be like, dude, lose the weight, pay the money or have it covered or whatever the case may be? John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. John?
That's right. We're dealing with an accident right now. Pine Forest Road and West 9 Mile Road. It's a vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock. So just be prepared for that and plan around it if you're having to drive through that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Happy Thanksgiving. On today's segment, I'm going to read to you an excerpt from President George Washington's Thanksgiving Day Proclamation. He says, and I quote, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God." Ladies and gentlemen, our founding president, George Washington, was right to put God at the top of his list of things for which he was thankful. The Apostle Paul wrote, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And with that in mind, I hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
Daryl's Sewing of Pensacola is the largest sewing machine dealer in the area. And this holiday season, they're featuring Baby Lock machines with many models in stock and starting at just $249. Radiance, the newest Baby Lock model, will be arriving soon. Black Friday deals include get a free Baby Lock trolley carrying case or a machine cover with a machine purchase. Financing is available. Call 850-438-5444. Daryl's Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Is this what you call a Thanksgiving Day dinner? Did we come across town for this? We are supposed to be served a real Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, Chuck, give us a real Thanksgiving dinner. 719 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, this is kind of an odd little story. They make it sound like it's a big mystery, okay? The headline is Taylor Swift named number 2 greatest pop star of the 21st century by Billboard. Who's going to be number 1? All right, John, I'm not going to tell you anything else about this list just yet. I will tell you more in just a second, but I just told you that Billboard has picked Taylor Swift as their number 2 greatest pop star of the 21st century. If you had to guess, knowing nothing else about this list, who do you think is going to likely be number 1?
Michael Jackson.
Of the 21st century. That's this century.
Oh, well, I tried. Yeah, I'm not really a pop person at this point.
Okay, all right. I thought this was, you know, sort of
Post Malone.
Super. Oh God.
Mm. Well, I'm trying.
Okay, I'm gonna help you out here.
Okay.
It's gonna be Beyonce. Beyonce is gonna be the answer.
Okay.
Okay. See, yeah, this is how much you're not into pop music. That's okay.
Yeah.
And if you look at the list, 25 and up. Katy Perry, Ed Sheeran, Bad Bunny, One Direction, Lil Wayne, Bruno Mars, BTS, The Weeknd, Shakira, Jay-Z, Miley Cyrus, Justin Timberlake, Nicki Minaj, Eminem, Usher, Adele, Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber, Kanye West, Britney Spears at number 6, Lady Gaga, Drake, Rihanna, Taylor Swift. Who's missing? Durr. I mean, durr. It's the least mysterious thing ever. It'll be the least surprising reveal when it comes out. So I thought it was kind of an odd thing for them to be doing, but, you know, okay. Of course, meanwhile, what do you mean Taylor Swift is only number 2? Swifties are angry. So angry. What do you mean? Well, as one, I thought, kind of honest commenter said, Taylor has been bigger in recent years, but Beyonce has been huge since the very beginning of this century. This woman says she's a fan of both singers. You have the recency problem, right? You know, recency in psychology is the idea that, you know, the things that stand out to you most in your memory are the things that you encountered most recently. Like every year we do this, like, you know, news and review of the year kind of thing. And every year I don't do the right thing in advance, which is carry a running file of big story, remember this, big story, remember this, big story, remember this. So instead I have to sit down and brainstorm what happened this year. And without exception, it's the stories from November and December that I think of. Because they're recent. That's the recency problem, right? 7:21 on News Radio 9, which is also an advertising thing. You know, the goal of advertising a lot is to get you to, you know, when you're about to do a thing, okay, the goal of advertising is that the most recent ad for a product in that genre is the thing we want you to think of, right? That's, you know, the goal. That's why, you know, there's frequency, which is how often you do it, and recency, which is when was the last one you heard, basically. 7:22 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this Thanksgiving. David?
And good morning and happy Thanksgiving to both of you fine gentlemen over there.
Wow. Way to really insult a person. Fine gentlemen?
Fine gentlemen.
I've never had such an audacious thing said about my character.
Well,
How dare you besmirch me, sir?
Sorry to slander you like that. It looks like Diddy's not going to be home for the holidays. Sean Combs' appeal to be released from jail on bond was denied yesterday. His legal team had asked he be released to live in a Manhattan apartment where he would have had armed security and only been allowed visitation with pre-approved family members and calls from attorneys. The judge said, though, that there was really no condition that would assure the safety of the community if they released him. The Macy's parade beginning soon here in about 10 minutes or so. Your favorite broadcast crew. I do.
It's my favorite thing to hate watch every year. It really is, yeah. Not because of the parade itself, but because of the commentary.
But they've got, 22 balloons, 34 floats, and 7 balloonicles, whatever a balloon is. I'm going to watch to find out what a balloonicle is.
I'm going to look it up. You got me now. Second time you mentioned it, I'm going to look it up. B-A-L-L-O-N-I-C-L-E?
Yes. Yep,
balloonicle.
That looks right, yeah.
What is a balloonicle? Oh, it's a balloon on the back of somebody who's riding a bicycle. Like a three-wheel bicycle that's got an inflatable character, like, riding back seat on... This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
All right, now I've got to look it up.
What? I guess they're like mini balloons that are at ground level that are not motorized, but are okay.
Okay, yeah. So there's the Kool-Aid man on one.
And some, like, they've got jail characters or
big
something.
Turkey. All right, yeah.
That was the most disappointing Google search maybe I've had this year. So, you know, I'll keep that in mind. All right.
Sorry about that.
Yeah,
okay.
No, that's good. We're, is that it?
I can't do any more after that. I'm spent.
David, thanks so much for the update. 7:24 on News Radio 92.3. We've had developments in the Congressional District 1 race. We had Nathan Nelson has dropped out. And you say who? And we say exactly. I didn't know who he was. He lives in Gulf Breeze. Okay. He had been in the race, and I've been trying to keep all of the names, you know, and tried to be as broad in my reach as I could. And Even I had missed this one. So, okay, combat veteran. He worked for Matt Gaetz, I guess, previously. So, okay, but he said, you know, he's out now. So what you have, the ins, in case you're keeping track at home, and I apologize if I exclude anybody, but you have Jimmy Patronis, CFO. You have Jeff Witt, Joel Rudman, Gene Valentino, Greg Merk, Charlie Keebaugh, although I haven't seen anything from him. There's like one person keeps emailing me Charlie Keebaugh stuff, so that's fine. Bernadette Pittman, according to the PNJ, and also the News Service of Florida, Uloma Kama, I have no idea who this person is, and Kevin Gaffney. The outs, Nathan Nelson, Keith Gross, John Frankman has dropped out. Of course, Michelle Salzman, as soon as Trump endorsed Patronis, she dropped out. And then there's a bunch of others who never got in the first place. Now, here's the one thing I will say this. This is kind of an interesting development. Who we talked to yesterday, former Commissioner Gene Valentino?
Yes.
And what did he kind of brag about? And I think it's a good brag, right, that the incoming Secretary of Homeland Security and the former acting director for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Is he going to be ICE or Homeland? Tom Homan? I can't remember all of a sudden. Anyway, that he had endorsed Gene Valentino. Rescinded.
Really?
Yeah, according to, is this News Service of Florida? I think it was. Maybe it was Florida Politics. Anyway, they said that the former acting director for U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement, Tom Homan, who has now been tapped by Trump to be the incoming border czar, that's right, has rescinded his endorsement of Gene Valentino, instead backing Jimmy Patronis. That's rude, man. I mean, that's just rough. Like, you know, you give an endorsement and then you're like, sorry, undo.
My bad.
I don't think you should control Z in endorsement, but okay, he did. And I feel bad for Gene. Just because, you know, you're out there able to brag on a Wednesday. I got this dude. And then on Thursday, like, oh, dang. That's rough. Let's see. John Pickens got traffic on the files. John?
Still dealing with that accident on Pine Forest Road and West 9 Mile Road. Traffic is backed up just a little bit in both directions. I'm not seeing much delays associated with that. At least they got the roadway cleared up. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're in the market for that next car, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used vehicles. Almost new. You know, not new to you, but almost like, or you know, new to you, almost new. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, maybe 4 years old with, you know, 10 to 50 or 60,000 miles is kind of like their sweet spot. They're going to warranty those cars to 10 years or 100,000 miles because they know you can count on them. They only sell A-quality cars. That's really, what they're doing is they're giving you the peace of mind of a new car, but not the price of a new car. Right? I mean, that's kind of the idea. And they have all different kinds of cars and trucks. And like I said, 300 different ones on the lot at any moment. And you can test drive as many as you like. Test drive a bunch. Test drive stuff you don't think you're going to be interested in to confirm that you're not, or maybe discover, oh, you know, I never thought I'd be interested in a Kia, but I drove one. I never thought I'd be interested in a Chevy Malibu, but I drove one, right? Or a Jeep, or a truck, or a minivan, you know, whatever. And then if you find what you like, buy it. If you find what you like, but close, like the miles are maybe wrong, too many or too few, which both can be an issue based on price, you know, or the color or the trim package level, whatever, you can send them to go look for stuff. They do that all the time for people. Frontier Motor, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. I don't think they stock balloonicles, but you can tell them that Andrew McKay says hi. 728, and you never know. I mean, if it's got low miles. 728 News Radio 92.3. Oh, have you been paying attention to the story about MSNBC? So MSNBC, this is rough. They don't belong to like Comcast anymore. They got spun off. So they're kind of out in the wilderness on their own. They're going to change the name. I guess it's no longer going to be MSNBC is part of the changes here. And everybody's worried about their jobs. You know, Morning Joe is worried about their jobs. Everybody else is kind of worried about what's going to happen. This was last week, Tuesday. Joe and Mika said they could be fired as soon as tomorrow, a week ago. Comcast planning to spin off a bundle of cable TV networks. Let's see. NBC Universal would spin off MSNBC, CNBC, Oxygen USA, E! Exclamation mark. It's a weird one to say on the radio. Sci-Fi and the Golf Channel. The Golf Channel. Into a new public company. Comcast is keeping NBC Bravo and Peacock streaming under NBC Universal with theme parks and Universal Studio. So, you know, we'll see what all this means. But the other news that came out yesterday is that MSNBC, since the election, has declined in viewership. John, you want to take a stab at what percentage loss of their audience they've had since the election?
30%.
Yeah, if only it were 30%, they'd be pretty happy. 47%.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Depending on which number you look at, okay, Nielsen says 47%. New York Times reported 39%. I guess since October. But anyway, and some of the other numbers here, I can't make sense out of them, but basically massive slash across the board in terms of the number of people watching MSNBC. I have a theory about it. My theory is this. I think if you're a liberal, who else watches MSNBC? And your whole world came apart in the election, you would just rather not even hear about it. You just, I don't want to know anything. I don't want to hear anything. I can't handle it anymore. Like, I think that's probably why. So, there are half of their audience fled because of, that's amazing.
The FBI is investigating after several members of President-elect Trump's incoming administration were targeted with bomb threats and swatting calls.
I'm not going to be intimidated by these people. They're not going to silence me. Look, I'm going to do this job. I'm going to do this job because it's an issue of national security. So you're not going to shut me up. I'm not going away.
That is incoming border czar Tom Homan. It's only been a day, but there's already problems with the ceasefire between Hezbollah and Israel.
The Israeli military reports what they call suspects, some with vehicles, have been detected in southern Lebanon, calling that a violation of the ceasefire that began yesterday with the Iran-backed militant group Hezbollah. It follows reports Israeli tank fire hit three towns along Lebanon's southeast border.
That's Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and happy Thanksgiving. It is cloudy. We've got 71 degrees right now. The Escambia Sheriff's Office still investigating a shooting early Wednesday morning at Mugs and Jugs Bar on Scenic Highway. Deputies say a man was shot in the leg there. He was taken to the hospital. There's no word on a motive or any potential suspects. A driver that died in a two-semi-truck crash in Santa Rosa County yesterday has been identified as a Texas man. The 36-year-old was driving his truck south on Highway 87 yesterday morning when he veered into the oncoming lane near Allentown Road and crashed head-on into another semi-truck, that truck driven by a South Carolina man. The Texas man died at the scene. The other driver suffered minor injuries and was taken to a local hospital. The crash closed 87 for several hours yesterday morning. A big success, that's how Escambia County Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore is describing that new county-run Escambia Fire Rescue Academy. 15 new firefighters graduated from the program last week. The county had previously partnered with George Stone to host the classes. Gilmore says it made more sense to host them on their own.
You're more one-on-one with them, you're more hands-on with them. They're about the organization. And you know, selfishly enough, we don't want to spend our time and waste money and resources on somebody who doesn't want to be here. So
Right. First
off, we make sure you want to be here. And you know, it saves money in the long run, saves heartache, saves the cadet and the individual, and saves us from having to go back out and do another hiring class and everything like that.
And Gilmore says the instructors that were teaching the classes at George Stone already worked as firefighters at Escambia Fire Rescue, so that made switching that over a whole lot easier for them. The cadets completed more than 500 hours of instruction on firefighting, emergency medical care, and vehicle extrication. Now, if you need a copy of your birth certificate, you're not going to be able to get that at the local tax collector's office, at least until sometime early next year.
Earlier this year, the Department of Health over in Jacksonville had a cyber event, and they were on an ancient software system, and to the best of my knowledge, versus retrying to recreate that ancient system, they were about halfway or three quarters through writing a new modern system.
And that is Escambia County Tax Collector Scott Lunsford. He says you should still be able to get a copy of your birth certificate at the Department of Health, but as that software is being modernized, the tax collector's office ability to get those birth certificates has been temporarily cut off. Again, they are expecting that to be restored by sometime next spring. Well, if you're not planning on cooking a big Thanksgiving meal today and you're hoping to find somewhere to sit down at a restaurant instead, you do have a few options here around the area. The News Journal put together a pretty comprehensive list of what is expected to be open around the area today. A few of your options here in Pensacola include Angelina's Restaurante Italiano, Atlas Oyster House, The Fish House, looks like Jackson's Steakhouse, Brother Fox, Restaurant Nola, and the Scenic Hills Country Club. On Pensacola Beach, the Grand Marlin, Perdido Key, looks like Floribama's having a Thanksgiving potluck event, and in Navarre Beach, Beach House Social. So that's just a few options. Again, the PNJ putting together a pretty comprehensive list there. You can find out hours and menu options and all that through them. It is 7:35. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Also, don't forget Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel, that's right.
That's right. In the hangar on Avalon Boulevard.
Okay.
In Milton. Those two are open. Those, what I know.
Well, absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate that
no
information.
Problem. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly, not seeing any accidents or delays for you this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Well, thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Happy Thanksgiving. We are going to be looking at a chance of some rain for today. 40% overall in the morning and early afternoon. Temperatures warming up near 75 degrees for your high. And then overnight, temperatures dropping tonight, 46 degrees. As you go into Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 58 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping into the 30s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you, Brooke. 71 degrees right now. Our next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Chad Robinson with Your Money Now. More than 72 million Americans will see a 2.5% cost of living adjustment in their Social Security and Supplemental Security income checks in 2025. In December, the notices will be available online for beneficiaries who have My Social Security accounts and will also be sent by mail, according to the Social Security Administration. This year, the agency will provide a new streamlined one-page notice, which will include exact dates and dollar amounts of new benefits, as well as any deductions. Major League Soccer's New York City FC is announcing their naming right partner for the club's new stadium that opens up ahead of the 2027 season. The club is partnering with Etihad Airways for the exclusive naming rights to the new venue in Queens, New York, which will officially be called Etihad Park, according to a joint press release. The markets are closed today for the holiday and will reopen tomorrow. That's Your Money Now.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins.
People still trying to digest this election. Mm-hmm. And people are celebrating other people, are wondering what went wrong.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays 11 till 2 after Pep Talk.
One of the questions is legacy media. Because it's the same talking
same
points.
It is, yeah.
And that for a lot of people, it really doesn't matter to them anymore.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays 11 till 2 before Guy Benson. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Give a huge shout out to the chief who got a chance to use our fancy high profile Bearcat Monday. So glad our officers were okay, but I do hope that in all seriousness that we do sit down and have a conversation with the news, Fox News. I think they went live and they gave up all our tactical positions on live TV. So I hope we sit down and have a heart to heart conversation with them
What? That's really bad. I don't think it was Fox News. I don't know if I want to say who it was, but Delarian Wiggins, city council member Delarian Wiggins at the most recent Pensacola City Council meeting, talking about how, you know, the local news Geraldo Rivera'd PPD. You know, remember when Geraldo was like drawing the positions of the things on TV on the sand? Like, no, bro, no. So joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He's the public information officer for the aforementioned Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Good morning.
Good morning. So what happened here?
Well, we had a what we thought was an individual inside of an apartment and that was armed, and it turns out he was not in there. But before we knew that, we had our negotiation team, our SWAT team was dispatched to that that area, and the news media is notified. And what I do on the way there to help out both our people and the media is determine where our staging area is going to be so that the media can get a good visual and be safe at the same time. But and this was not Fox News. This was not a Fox affiliate. I won't mention who it was, but they did not go there. They went to another location, and they were broadcasting on live TV the positions of our SWAT team, which is very dangerous.
Yeah.
And they were also in a location where they were in the line of fire, a possible line of fire. So we did work that out. I did talk to the bosses there, and we had a lengthy conversation, and I'm pretty sure that that won't happen again.
Well, that's good news in the end. But, man, I mean, because, like, you know, you guys always – you're so good at this. You know, this is what's happening. This is what I know. I'm on my way. And then I'm here. This is where we're staging. Meet us here. Now, I'm – usually I don't show up on, you know, live scenes like this because I figure Channel 3 is going to send somebody, and that's as much as I need to learn about it at the moment. And a lot of times I can't go just because, like, I'm on the air, you know, whatever. But you're very, very good about this. So they didn't go to the right place. They were in the line of fire. They were giving away your position. This is bad. I mean, I'm glad nothing happened, but that could have been really, really bad. And I'm also glad that, you know, they were receptive to the criticism and are going to do better in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I was too. You know, the media has the right to go wherever the public can go.
Right.
And we get that, but we just ask them kindly not to broadcast the live positions of our officers on a situation like that. And again, they were very receptive, very nice about it. And I don't believe it'll happen again.
Well, that's good. And I mean, that's just like a general thing. And, you know, there's been so many times where, you know, something is happening or it's ongoing or whatever. And, you know, you guys or Scambia Sheriff or Santa Rosa Sheriff say, you know, hey, please don't share this, or, you know, or you just don't tell because you can't take the risk of something getting shared because of an ongoing investigation. And like, I always think, well, good. I mean, my job is to serve the community. Like, my job is not to give out the information that the police are trying to keep to themselves because they're working on something and it's a vital thing. You know, my job is to serve the community. And it does not serve the community when you're revealing the location of the SWAT team members in an active shooter situation. Like, that's what, my God, you know? I mean, that's true whether we're at the base. You know, hey, can I take a picture of this? Can I take a video of that? Oh, I think I caught something in the background. You want me to delete that photo? Sure. Okay. I mean, you know, because that's just what you do to honor the mission, because the mission first, right? I mean, it's my way of thinking about it as a news person, so.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, the Pensacola Police Department has a very good working relationship with the local media, and that's what it's all about. They have a job to do. The people deserve to know what's going on, what we're doing, how we do it, why we do it. And we're going to make sure that we are transparent and we get that information out to them, which gets it out to you as fast and as accurately as possible. But in live situations like that, we do ask that that nothing be broadcast live. That's all.
Yeah, man. Sometimes you just have to give up what you think is the more captivating story in order to do the right thing. You know, that's just, anyway. Let's see. Thefts at porches, deliveries. This time of year, man, the Amazon trucks are going around, or the UPS, or the people in the private vans, whatever, are going around all the time dropping stuff off. How is the level of security in the reports of stolen items this year?
It's starting to ramp up like it does every year. And I always look at it like the UPS and the FedEx trucks are Santa on his sleigh. And then right behind them is the Grinch coming along and taking those packages right off the porch. And it ramps up usually beginning today or tomorrow, Black Friday through Christmas. But we've already seen some thefts. So, you can have those packages delivered to a neighbor that's at home or maybe where you work, if that's allowed. But, you know, if they're going to be delivered to your home, they need to be taken in as quickly as possible because these people are out and they're out in force this time of year.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. Every time there's some new technology or a way to do something, there's the bad people come along and ruin it. And, you know, door delivery is a very, very cool technology in terms of distribution of goods and services. Well, goods. And the Porch Pirates, they ruin that. Are we seeing very many calls for incidents at, like, malls or whatever? I know the Sheriff's Department has got a couple of those camera towers up, which, by the way, you cannot miss. I was at Academy last night, and you cannot miss their tower. You guys don't have those, though, right, those camera towers?
No, we're out in these areas with both marked and unmarked vehicles, uniformed and plainclothes officers in the areas of popular shopping locations, and that's how we're doing it at this point.
Very good, very good. And so far, no real incidents in, like, those kind of areas, you know, malls, parking lots, that kind of stuff?
No, not yet. And we just ask people if they're going to shop, especially very early in the morning before dark, just to go in numbers. Because the bad guys are paying attention to those who are not paying attention to what's around them. Those make easy targets. So just look around, be aware of your surroundings. If you can shop in numbers, that always is very helpful.
And can I say the thing that you I assume will totally agree with? Stay off your flipping phone. Period.
and take the AirPods out. You need to be able to hear somebody come behind you. We see that all the time, and it's, you know, with joggers and things like that, there's no way they can hear anybody approaching them from behind. So it's dangerous. I mean, it's convenient. It's great to have your music everywhere you go like that and talk on the phone. But just be aware of your surroundings while you're out shopping this Christmas season. Hopefully we won't have anything to talk about as far as that goes.
No, that's a really good note, too. You're right. The earbuds, the AirPods is a very, very good thing. Hang on for just a sec. We're talking to Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for PPD. John has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents or delays to let you know about. Traffic is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the PIO for the Pensacola Police Department. Tuesday, we were talking with Sheriff Chip Simmons about their counselor program, their, you know, program basically where you have a person who's designed to handle mental illness along with, and particularly to connect with Lakeview, along with a sheriff's office or deputy when they're driving around so that if there's a call like that, they have both resources available. You guys have a similar, but it's a slightly different structure to your program. Is that right?
Yes, our community response specialists are in unmarked vehicles. They're in plain clothes. They're out there on their own. They do have one of our radios. They can contact us immediately if things go wrong. But they know if a situation arises to where the person is hostile or simply doesn't want to talk to them, they don't push the issue. But if they need us, we're right around the corner for them. And they're able to spend time with these folks. Every one of them has a different story of why they're homeless and in the situation they're in. And they're able to think outside the box and help them in various other ways that a patrol officer sometimes simply doesn't have time to do.
You know, it seems like a really good opportunity over, say, the next year for you guys to collect data and to collaborate with ECSO and then to maybe sort of compare notes and see which model is a more effective model because, you know, best practice comes from experience and you've got great data collection going on at both agencies, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with the lines are not drawn for people that are in the situation. They don't care whether they're in the city or the county. So it's great that both agencies are doing this to help the community as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, both are much better than not having either. And, you know, I would just be kind of curious to know whether there's a superiority or whether it just doesn't matter. As long as we're doing something, we're doing something. Last thing we always like to do with you is a cop myth or a did you know. You have one for me this weekend or this weekend, this Thanksgiving? I don't know what happened there.
Live radio.
Yeah, that's right.
Tis the season for DUIs, and we're going to be talking about that a lot. We don't want to see anybody go to jail during the holidays. We certainly don't want to see anybody get hurt or killed. But one of the myths about DUIs is that coffee or tea will help you sober up. Time is the only thing that will help you sober up. Your liver needs time to metabolize the alcohol, which generally takes about an hour for a small drink. So that's a myth. It takes about an hour per drink, so you can do the math there. But we just suggest that you don't drink and drive at all. There's all kinds of options out there. But by the time you get done paying attorneys and fees, or fines, it can be around $10,000, where an Uber would have maybe cost you $20 or $25. So it's a no-brainer. Let's don't drink and drive, and hopefully we'll be able to get through this season without any horror stories about that.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about alcohol that, like, everybody knows, I think, but maybe they don't think about it all the way through, is having a drink changes you. You know, you're more friendly, you laugh more. It's a little bit, maybe, but it's a change. And that means a change in reaction time, too. And, you know, I don't know, we've all had driving encounters where it was inches. You know, it was inches between a major catastrophe and what turned out to be a nothing. And in an inches or even feet situation, having had a drink or two drinks can be the difference between catastrophe and non-catastrophe. I mean, to me, that's the way I think about it. Am I thinking about this wrong?
Yeah, no, you're thinking about it exactly right. You know, one of the first things to go south when you begin drinking is your good decision-making skills, mm-hmm. and then comes your reaction time. So when you combine those two, it can be a deadly combination.
And look, that's even when it's not, you know, past the legal threshold. That's just a fact. I mean, there's a lot of countries in the world where it's zero. Zero is the legal limit. And, I mean, you know, I don't know if we would ever accept that being that way here, but there's logic to that. That really does make sense because, you know, behavior is affected even at small, you know, below the threshold levels. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer at the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time, sir, and we'll talk to you again next week, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. And cranberry sauce does belong on the turkey sandwich.
No, it really does. That's right. That is the essential condiment complement to a turkey sandwich. And I also like to put stuffing on there, too. You can put all three on the bread, and then it's really yummy. Sir, thanks so much for the time. 7:51 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. That is tomorrow at 9:30 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Try this. Homemade cranberry sauce.
Homemade cranberries? What kind of Food Network voodoo is that? Cranberry sauce comes from a tin. That's the way it's always been. Don't you miss the traditional cranking open of the can? The sound of that red jiggly cylinder sliding out onto the plate?
Blick.
That's the sound of Christmas.
This is your trivia moment. Do you know that show? Okay, you know what country it's from, right? Because you heard the accent. It's a Canadian show. Corner Gas. You ever watch Corner Gas? It's kind of an obscure little sitcom, but pretty sharp. From a couple, I mean, gosh, like 30 years ago, I think. I don't start to seem really old when I talk about it. But anyway, I love that clip. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, former Long Island Congressman Lee Zeldin is among President-elect Trump's nominees and appointees. And yesterday, he was hit with a bomb threat.
Zeldin, picked to be Trump's EPA chief, says it was a pipe bomb threat containing a pro-Palestinian message targeting him and his family. It arrived by email but turned out to be a hoax. No one home at the time, but Zeldin's neighbors in Shirley said authorities were quick to respond.
A lot of law enforcement came out. We had some Secret Service for Lee. A bomb squad came out and they did the robotic search.
New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik got a bogus bomb threat, too, at her home in Saratoga. She's Trump's choice for U.N. ambassador. The FBI is investigating. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
And, of course, following Matt Gaetz's house in Niceville, also getting that bomb threat yesterday. So a lot of that happening. Macy's Parade is kicking off here. I guess it's going on right now.
Is it now? I thought it started not yet.
I think it starts at 7:30 is what I've got my notes here. I don't have it turned on, so I don't know.
I set my DVR yesterday, and I don't have to think about it
until
later. I'm
waiting to see the balloonicles, though. I can't wait for that. 22 balloons today, 34 floats in that parade. A New Mexico man's been awarded more than $400 million, Andrew, after suing a male health clinic that's accused of misdiagnosing him and treating him with invasive penile injections that caused irreversible damage. The man apparently went to the New Male Clinic in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He went there for treatment for fatigue and weight loss. I guess maybe wanted testosterone replacement therapy or something like that. Clinic workers, they say, pressured him into taking these erectile dysfunction injections 3 times a week. So he says he was pressured into that. The jury awarded him $412 million. That's the largest amount to ever be awarded in a medical malpractice lawsuit in the U.S.
$500 million?
Do I have to say the words again?
Because somebody pressured you into taking wiener shots? Come on. Come on. Dude. Dude. All right. Just move on. There's nothing to... There's nothing good's gonna come of this conversation. So,
right.
I feel like I have to say it though. Oh, it's just a little prick. Hey, you can say anything you want on your last day. John Pickett just got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Even 98 rolling through Gulf Breeze. No accidents or delays there. I'm John Pickett with your traffic on the fives.
We lost David. David is out of commission.
You killed me.
Will it hurt? Anyway, where were we? I have no idea. Oh, my goodness. 437-1620. 437-1620. This is a weird comment. You know, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are coming in. They're going to cut waste. They're going to trim the fat. They're going to get rid of all the things in the federal government that they don't like, including, they think, unconstitutional spending. Something like $500 billion? $2 trillion? I forget. You know, these numbers don't mean anything to anybody at all. Actually, you know what? I don't want to do this right now. We've been having this discussion about PFAS and PFAS, you know, parts per trillion, okay? And, you know, the way my brain works is I get going on a trail and I can't let go until I get to the end of it. And it occurred to me that nobody understands these numbers. Like, what's a trillion? I mean, nobody understands these numbers. Big numbers are incomprehensible because you want to say, well, it's just a couple more zeros. Yeah, it's a massive difference. So I actually sat down to figure out, because this is what I do on Thanksgiving evening, what one part per trillion, can I come up with a good analogy for this? Here's the analogy I came up with. The entire surface area of Escambia County is, 675 square miles? And if you do the math on that, it's about 18 billion square feet. Now, I know that's a number nobody understands. Okay, 18 billion square feet, I don't know that. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to understand that number. But mathematically, that means that something that's like on the ground, a tile in your house that's 12 inches, you know, it's a foot by a foot, that tile is 1/16 billionth of the surface area of the entire county. You follow? I mean, you don't have to get it, but I'm just kind of drawing you through the relationship. You know how big Escambia County is, generally, and your floor tile is 1/18 billionth. In order to get down to the concept of, like, parts per trillion, one part per trillion would be 3 square inches. So something like the EPA testing lines for PFAS and PFOS are 4 parts per trillion. That's roughly a Post-it note. Little smaller than a 3x5 card. So 4 parts per trillion, think of it this way, is a Post-it note size piece of ground on the entire county's landmass. That It's not very much. That's really, really small. And I know it's not a volume measure, but you get the point.